The Devonshires by Roy Hattersley. Read by Michael Jayston. Chapter 1. Before Bess. Andrew Cavendish, the 11th Duke of Devonshire, told me that he had not expected to survive the war. In the spring of 1944, he was a company commander in the 3rd Battalion of the Coldstream Guards, part of General Alexander's 8th Army, which was fighting its way north through Italy in the long and bloody battle of the Gothic Line. As a racing enthusiast, he judged his chances of returning home to be very long odds indeed. Coldstream officers, he explained, wore fawn rather than khaki trousers. As a result, they could be identified and picked off by German snipers. I asked the obvious question. Why did they not abandon what was surely no more than an affectation and revert to regulation uniform? Before he replied, the Duke paused in astonishment. We weren't going to let the Germans tell us what to wear. The Duke had encapsulated in a single sentence all that is best and worst in the English aristocracy. He had also demonstrated the extraordinary confidence in a way of life and standard of behaviour that comes from membership of a family which has been famous, rich and powerful for 500 years or more. The 11th Duke was not an arrogant man, so another, often quoted example of his self-assurance may be apocryphal. But if, when asked if he belonged to Pratt's Club, he really did answer, "No, it belongs to me," he was expressing a minor example of a greater truth. The Devonshires stamped their indelible mark on England. They helped to make it as it made them. Other families, the Russells, the Stanleys, the Cecils, played equally notable parts at moments in history. But the Devonshires endured. The family administered the dissolution of the monasteries, fought but failed to save Charles I, schemed successfully to depose James II, and produced a prime minister in the 18th century, and in the 19th, a politician who was described by John Buchan in The Three Hostages as the epitome of Englishness. They also built great houses, patronised the arts, and from time to time scandalised respectable society. Yet despite what they had already achieved, when in the 17th century William Cavendish became Earl of Devonshire, the family felt so insecure about its origins that it employed a pedigree maker to trace its nobility back beyond the reign of Henry VII, the Welsh parvenu, who in 1485 defeated the Plantagenets on Bosworth Field and founded the Tudor monarchy. The indisputable proof of noble lineage was the discovery of a bloodline which stretched back to men who landed with William the Conqueror or fought with Henry V at Agincourt. The Devonshire's pedigree maker knew his duty. He obligingly provided both a Norman and an Angevin knight with equally dubious provenance. So the Cavendish story begins with a confusing mixture of fact and fiction. The family was happy to accept the inventions as historical truth. The first myth was built around Robert Gurnon. He possessed the essential qualification of mention in the Doomsday Book, and because of his kinship with a Ralph de Gurnon, who lived in Essex but was Lord of Bakewell in the Peak, established the necessary territorial connection. It was then necessary to find a suitable descendant who could relate Gurnon to the Tudor Cavendishes. The pedigree maker found two, thus making it more difficult to expose his work as a fraud. One nominee was a Gurnon descendant called Robert de Cavendish, who in 1226 contested the ownership of 6 acres of land along the Essex-Sussex border. The only real evidence to support his claim to membership of the dynasty was his passion for the acquisition of land, an obsession which for the next 500 years was a defining Cavendish preoccupation. The second contender was a Gurnon who was said to have changed his name in order to inherit Cavendish Manor in Suffolk. In 1359, Cavendish Manor was certainly owned and occupied by a Sir John Cavendish, a busy and successful lawyer who became a judge. But the records show that he bought rather than inherited property, and that he had no connection with the Gurnons of the Doomsday Book.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?